As many of you know, we are doing a series entitled The Big Deal. And The Big Deal is a series on money, on wealth, and possessions. And we talked about the importance of that, and we realized that on the oncoming onslaught of the shopping spree, the shop that you drop, all the stuff on the internet, all the offers, and in light of your upcoming bonuses, that every year, the church finds a way to remind you of how money, wealth, and possessions come together and how you can maximize that and what God's plan is for you in that area of your life. We said that we were going to be studying over the next 4 weeks, and this is our third week, on the book of Deuteronomy. We said that the book of Deuteronomy is actually the second reading of the law, and we pointed out how they were coming out of Egypt. And as they were going out of Egypt, they were now parked in the middle of the plains and on their way to the promised land. And in light of that, the first week we talked about the promise of God and the response, the appropriate response to that promise, and the results that we're going to get if we abide by those responses and do the right thing. Last week we talked about the reality of the power of God to provide for us. And that verse in the book of Deuteronomy, which talks about it is the Lord who gives us the power to produce wealth. And the question about the power could be us, money itself, and our resources in order to bring us to the promised land or so-called promised land that we so desire. Today we're switching gears and we're looking at all these things. And you do remember what we talked about last week where God says, remember how I brought you out of Egypt to test you and how I allowed you and led you all this way to test you and to keep you humble because I want you to possess the promised land. Today we're going to talk about yet another facet of that, but this time we're going to talk about the reality of how that promised land works and where that is. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 8 talks to us and says to us, you shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land. He's talking about the land that you are going to over to possess. Now, we're now in this third week. We've talked about all those things, and now he's beginning to explain to them to enjoy this whole thing, to possess it, to keep it for the rest of your life. Here are a few ground rules. He said, and that you may live long in that land. He's talking about how this promised land is something that he wants you to live long in, this particular land. But there's a definition to this land. He says it's not just the promised land. This is the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them and to their offspring. In other words, this is the land that the Lord gives. I want to explain that to you a little bit. This blob of land that the Israelites were inheriting was the promised land for the entire nation. But the reality of that was when they arrived inside that nation, the land was apportioned and subdivided according to the different tribes. Some of the older tribes, the bigger tribes, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Caleb, the tribes of Joseph, these tribes had bigger portions, and there were reasons for that. Some of them got smaller portions. And that the division of that had to translate into something even more personal because the promised land was not for an aggregated people or just a blob of people. There was something that was personal that he was going to own on his own. In other words, once the subdivisions of the different tribes happened, those lands were subdivided in even smaller chunks to the different people. Is everybody following? Well, all that to say that this was not a communist socialist undertaking. This was not as if everybody had the equal size of land. Some people had mountaintops, some people had valleys, some people had all kinds of different sorts of pieces of land. But the point is, whoever they were and wherever they got, each of them got a land that the Lord gives. The application to you and I is there, the lands that you and I have, the things that we have, the careers, the wealth, the inheritance that we get, they're not all equal. And sometimes that's the mistake. We think that the promised land is just a place, but the reality is the promised land is really rather more spiritual in our context. And the context of that promised land is all going to be different into what it is specifically that you and I are going to inherit. Now, I want to show you this illustration. So if there are many options for us, the big question is, which one is my promised land? You hear? And many of us think that the promised land of wealth, possessions, and the things that God wants to have for me and my money is actually dependent on my job, my employment, my career, the work that I do. And I need you to understand that that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about God's promised land for you, not just your money, but everything else that comes together that God wants to have for your life. And so we continue in the book of Deuteronomy where he says, you shall therefore, going back to the same verse in verse 8, he's talking about possessing this land, but he explains how. Here's how you do it. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment. He's talking about the commandment, and that's how you possess this. And I want to draw your attention to the word whole or everything. I was so encouraged by this word. I actually just arrived at about 1 a.m. last Saturday, yesterday, from Karawaci, Indonesia. And I've been asked by a pastor friend of mine whom I've recently met and said, could you pass by Singapore and spend the day with us? We would like to consult you. And so I'd flown over on Thursday night, spent overnight in Singapore, and Friday morning met with them, and basically at 4 o'clock, went to the airport, boarded my plane at 7 o'clock, flight was delayed, landed here, and I was so encouraged because I didn't really know what I was going to be preaching just yet. So I was reading this verse, and I called my wife, and I told my wife, hon, I want you to see this. I was actually preaching this to her because I was so encouraged about what the word was saying. And usually I prepare, but my wife waits for the day, for the moment I'm going to preach. But this particular one, I had to tell her the revelation. And as I was telling her this revelation, she stopped me. And she said, you shall therefore keep the whole commandment. And she said, what does that mean? What's the specific thing? I said, what that means is everything. And she said, no. I want to know this. I said, no, Marie, said, that's everything. And here's what I want to tell you. The way you do this, if you want to inherit this land, you can't piecemeal and choose, and my wife wasn't pointing that out. The point is, you can't just select what you want among the commandments of God. It's everything. You're not looking for the quickest solution and the quickest revelation and the quickest way of achieving that. What you're saying is, God, I want the whole thing. I want the whole commandment because I want to be obedient. I just don't want to go through this. The reality is obedience is all about this idea of being devoted. Another way of being faithful. And the question about the land that the Lord gives is really not about the portion of land or how big or small that land is. The big question is, will you be faithful with the land that he gives you? Are you still here? And what tends to happen with us is we're looking at different people. Why does he have that career? Why does he have that job? Why does he have that money? Why did he inherit that money? You know what? If that person inherits that, but he's not faithful for that, it's just a few years before he loses all of that. And that's the same for you. On the other hand, and I was sharing this with our own household help, I was telling her last night, Ethel, you know what? If you are faithful, because this is the truth, and here's where you're going to make a mistake. If you think the promised land is just a bunch of things and a place to go, you're going to miss it because God's already given you your spiritual promised land. The question is, are you faithful? Okay, I've got about, this is not the most popular message in the world. Will you be faithful to what God has entrusted to you? Because he said this, if you're faithful, then you will become strong. It's true, isn't it? When you're faithful to your wife and your marriage, what's going to happen? You're going to have a strong marriage. If you're faithful to the little things about your health, what's going to happen? You're going to be strong. You look at every billionaire there is out there, he was faithful to the little thing he had. You think Henry C. started with a big thing? He started with a small thing. He was just faithful. The point is the principle of faithfulness. Are you faithful? Are you faithful with the little thing that God's given you? Are you even faithful to God himself? Because that's how you're going to enter into your promised land. He said, if you follow me, if you take my whole command, and if I command you today that you may be strong, and if you're strong, you're going to go in. And you're not just going to go in. You're going to possess your land. You're going to have it. Surprise thing that I'm going to give you. This little thing that you have, this tiny thing that you thought was so small, is going to get big for you if you remain faithful to me. And faithfulness does not just start there. It starts with your relationships. I showed you this illustration a while ago. And so often when it comes to resources, money, future possessions, the focus is on these things rather than on being faithful. Whatever it is that God's given you, are you faithful? Now let me define faithfulness for you. It's not cheating. Too many people define faithfulness as, I'm not cheating. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is, if you say, okay, I'm married to my wife, I'm faithful to her because I'm not cheating. You do not define a word by what it's not. You define it by what it is. So it's possible you're not cheating your wife, but are you devoted to your wife? Hello? In other words, are you praying for her? Are you talking to her? Are you loving her? Are you thinking about her? As I was in Karawaci, the only thing I could think of was text my wife and call her and say, are you awake? I'm getting on Viber. I want to pray with you before I go to bed because I want to be devoted to you. Are you here? You're not just looking for, God, what's the little command? What's the thing? Oh, is it grace, God? I'm just going to take the grace. No, what's the whole command, God? I want to be faithful. I don't want to just get by. And that's what he was telling them. By the time you get inside this promised land, you're going to have your own piece of land. You're going to have all of that. And you're going to have giants in the land. And they're going to try to grab that thing away from you. And if you're not strong enough because you haven't been faithful, you're not going to have that promised land. Hello? Nobody likes this message. But we should have all gone to watch Macau. But it's not cheating. Faithfulness is not saying, you know, I'm not cheating my boss. That's not the point. The point is, do you work hard for him? Are you faithful? I'm not cheating this guy. Yeah, but are you giving it 100%? I'm not cheating God. I go to church, pastor. I raise my hand. Yeah, I know that. But you read your Bible. Do you pray? Are you faithful to God when he's not looking? Or you think he's not looking? It's not just that you're not cheating, it's, are you devoted? Secondly, it's not just faithfulness starts with a person, it starts with your own faithfulness to God. You will not be faithful, or you could be faithful to a business. But at the end of the day, that has to translate to a person. Whether that's God, your wife, whether that's the employees that you work with, the team that you work with, the faithfulness in that area is necessary for you to inherit your promised land. There's a thing called faithfulness, folks. And finally, the biggest part of faithfulness is, are you willing to be faithful with the small thing? We're all looking for the, and then we look at other people and other, you know, are you faithful with the shoes God's given you? Are you faithful with your things, your health, small stuff? How you eat, where you sleep, how you stress yourself over. Somebody, one of the guys at the back, talked to me earlier, said, you were across your house yesterday because there was a VCIS, Victory School event across the street. And he said, I saw you walking and you were sweating. I said, because I landed at 1 o'clock in the morning. I had to go to sleep, get up at 10, and I had to run. I have to be faithful in the little things. Hello? I have to be faithful that my body stays healthy. It's no big deal. Let me explain this to you. It's not a long run. Some people take 2 hours in the gym, but they're walking a treadmill at the speed of 5 while reading a newspaper. That's not faithfulness. I worked out for 20 minutes, but I was faithful. I was devoted. That 20 minutes was devoted to that. I gave it everything I got. I needed to sweat. I needed to get the airplane air out of my system. I just needed to be faithful. It wasn't because I just was trying to be healthy. I'm just being faithful for the health that God's given me. Is everybody here? It's starting small. It's really not the big stuff that God's looking at. It's the faithfulness. Now, this is interesting. In verse 11, this last part of verse 11, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land you're entering to, take possession of it. is not like the land of Egypt. And this is the second point. The second point is the land is flowing with milk and honey. Number one, it's the land that the Lord gives you. But he describes this land. This land is not like any other land. This land is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And that's an interesting description. I'm going to explain that. If you've ever heard that line, which I'm sure you have through the different books in the Bible, let me explain what that verse actually means, or what that line means, the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, first of all, it says, the land with milk and honey, for the land you are entering to take possession of, it is not like the land of Egypt. In other words, it is not like the world defines it. It is not about your job. It's not just about the career. It's not about the comfort zone. It's not like that. That you have come to know. In other words, you have a certain mindset about what that thing looks like. That's not what it is. In other words, if you think that way, think again. What was the difference between the land of Egypt and the promised land? The land of Egypt was the land of slavery. The promised land was the land of freedom. Love this word, freedom. Land of slavery, they were impoverished, they were hooked up, they were limited. Yes, you need to be faithful. Yes, you need to give it everything you've got. But you got to understand, in the midst of, yes, it's going to start small, but in the midst of the smallness, you've got a freedom to believe this can get big. Not stopping there. I'm going to be faithful. I was in Singapore and I met with this pastor. I thought we were going to have a conversation. He said, I just wanted to consult you. Because you're an older church, you're a 30-year-old church. Ours is 19 years, and we're very successful. They bought this huge mall. They got all this money, but I want to consult you. So I'm sitting down with this man, and we're chatting. I didn't realize I was sitting down with 20 other people. And I didn't realize that one of the ladies in the room was this lady who runs this Bible school, this seminary, which is, when I heard the name, I thought, that name sounds familiar. I know of some high-level pastors in Singapore who graduated from this institution. And after that, when I got back to my hotel, they sent me an email and said, Pastor, we want to invite you as an adjunct professor, and we want you to teach in our seminary. And I started thinking, we'll fly you in, teach for 1 week. And I thought to myself, do these people know I don't have a college degree? Do they know I don't have a theological degree? But you know what I have? I've been faithful. I've been faithful to the small. And if you're faithful to the small, God can surprise you and open a door for you. Are you here? The point is, God has miracles and things he has for you. The point is, will you be faithful so that when that door opens, you're ready? That you have the muscles and the strength and the ability to possess that which he wants to give you. Hello. What differentiates this land is, okay, you got to be faithful, but at the same time, it's free. And I love freedom. Freedom is a statement of love. When you enjoy something for free, it's because someone paid that for you. If you get something for free that's really free, that has no value, it's because it has no value. If you get something that's free that has value, it's because someone loved you enough to pay the price for you. That's the gospel. But see, the interesting thing about freedom is it's about love and giving you leverage and wideness and greatness, but at the same time, it comes with a responsibility. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it, because there is a boundary and there's a test. Hello. Freedom is on one end, setting you free to do everything that God has in store for you. On the other end, freedom is a responsibility. You're free to buy a car, but you have a responsibility to park that car. And if that car features in an accident, you are responsible for that car. You're free to marry the girl you want to marry, but once you marry her, hello, you've entered into a big responsibility. You're free to commit other acts you want to act, but at the same time, that freedom necessitates a responsibility. And that's what he was telling these people. You're entering this promised land. I've got a land just for you. But it's different. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. You got to think wide and big and possibilities. There's oil underneath there. There's trees and pomegranates, and there's different sorts of things. And it's not going to be about your labor alone. It's going to be your labor with my favor. I'm going to put you in places that you never thought were even possible. I'm going to give you stuff that you never even tasted of. And he was reminding them, be careful. Now, here's an interesting story. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Now, the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. He's talking about this little pocket of Jews in the midst of the travel. And they said they had a strong craving. And here's the point. The point is, it's not very easy to forget the things of Egypt. We get used to it. We get accustomed to it. Though we are slaves in there, though we are laboring and we're not seeing the fruit of it, it's hard to forget it. And the people of Israel wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. Here's what they're saying. I want to go back to Egypt. I want to eat this meat. Look at the meat they wanted. We remember, not the way how God moved them out. They forgot the power of God. They forgot all that God did. We remember the fish. That's what they remember. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt, which is probably the most rotten fish that all the Egyptians were throwing at them because they were slaves. It's hard to forget that. We go back to our sin and our mindsets and our slavery and our thought patterns. And that happened to me. You know what happened to me? When I went back to I saw the email, my first response was, I had fear. What if these people find out that I'm an undergrad? What if people... And I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. And I had to kill it. I said, I'm free. God can make a miracle for me. Not sure, but by faith. Are you here? I'd rather walk in the truth and believe by faith and kill this thing. God can do it. Don't know how, but he can. But I gotta stop thinking the way of Egypt. And then here's what they said. We ate this fish that cost us nothing. They don't understand anything about cost. Do you know what the cost was to them? Slavery. Lifetime poverty. Hopelessness. That's the cost. And all they could think about is, I'm going to get some fish. Old fish. I can't forget the pepino. I can't forget the cucumbers. It's like, I'm promising you a land flowing with milk and honey. The best of your life's about to start, and all you can think of is pepino. What's wrong with you? The melons, that's what I can think. The leeks, the onions, the garlic, the bad breath, that's all you can think of? My goodness, you've got Egypt inside of you. We got to drive that out of you. Before you leave out here and say, you know what, here's God. God in his wisdom and sovereignty knew that, yeah, I'm taking you there, but those mindsets aren't going to go very easy. Now, please understand this. The Egyptians did not have milk. The Egyptians had milk. The Egyptians actually bathed in milk. They took donkeys and milked them, about 700 of them, and they would bathe, Cleopatra would bathe in these things. So it's not as if they didn't have milk. The Jews had no idea there was such a thing as milk. All they knew was rotten fish and pepino. That's all they knew. But the Egyptians had milk. They used it as cosmetics. They used it to drink. They used it as health potions. They used it as medicine. And they did not just not have milk. They had bees. They were actually great beekeepers. And they had honey. They produced these things in large quantities. But what God was saying is, despite all of that, this land I'm taking you is greater than that. Not only is it greater than that, it's not produced by your hands. It will be flowing into your life. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I've been here a long time. Well, be faithful. You say, Pastor, you're so lucky. Well, you weren't here 17 years ago. It wasn't like this. We were just faithful. I look at Pastor Steve and Pastor June. They both come from different places. Pastor Steve from the States, got a big inheritance from his dad. Pastor June's from Iloilo, no inheritance from his dad. Both of them are blessed, amazingly blessed. You know what's in common? Not an inheritance. They were both faithful. And they were both in faith to believe, I'm coming in to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to be blessed. I don't know how, but I'm not thinking like a prisoner anymore. Stop. I'm not going to be bridled by mindsets. I'm not going to be thinking of poverty. I'm not going to be thinking of limitations. I'm not going to think of just about my labor. It's God's favor that comes with my labor. I'm not going there anymore. I'm done. I'm not striving anymore. I'm entering to the place of thriving. I'm going to thrive. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be faithful, but I've got to realize I've got to think big. I'm moving in there. I'm going to take care of the small while I believe that God has something great for me. You should be clapping by now. The Word of God is powerful. And that's where He wants to take you. But the land you're going over to possess is a land of hills. It's not just the flat land. It's not going to be like Egypt. It won't have the Nile, which drinks water. It's not going to be by irrigation systems. It's not the way they planted there. It will drink water by the rain from heaven. It's a different land. I'm going to sustain it. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be surprised as the seasons come and the seasons go and the rains come, and I'll sustain you if you'll trust me. If you will be devoted to me, if you'll obey me, if you're going to be careful and say, God, I want the whole thing. I don't want the part deal. God, I want everything. And I want to obey you. I want to love you for the rest of my life. I want to be faithful to you. And you said, when I do that, you'll take care of me. The land that the Lord God cares for, that's where you want to be. The small land that you're going to be faithful with, the land that's going to be flowing with milk and honey, but the land that God Himself takes care of. That's the land where you want to be. Not just any land, not just any job, not just the best offer. I've been coming in and out of Indonesia now. Karawaci, Surabaya, Jakarta, just different places, different churches, different situations. Many years ago, I was offered a job to become a CEO of a company there. And I remember going to Pastor Steve and saying, Steve, I've been offered this job in Indonesia. And Steve said, let's pray. And I said, Steve, you know what? It's five times my pay. And I'm going to be an expat status. That means I get free plane rides and business class and all these. This was when I was still a businessman. And we prayed, and Steve couldn't bear witness with it. And my wife was really revolting against it. But I wanted to do it because this is my career. This was my promised land. So I thought. Thanks be to God, I was led by the Spirit, and I agreed with Pastor Steve, my wife, and Deborah, and we decided to say no. Not realizing that many months later, the entire Indonesian economy was going to collapse. I'd end up carrying what I thought was going to be the promised land, and with death threats from the CEO that eventually took that company. You see, sometimes we think it's the automatic thing, the job, the blessing, the money, the bonus. That's not it. It's the land that God cares for. It's the promised land. It's a spiritual reality. Now, here's what he says in verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are always upon it. That's where you want to be. You want to be in that land that He's entrusted to you, however small it is, and be faithful. And transfer that to your children. It might not be your generation. You're still going to be happy. You're still going to be blessed. I was watching one of the girls singing upstage here, and I was reminded about how faithful her father was, because I know her father. Her father was one of the people who worked for me. He's just faithful, and she's faithful. And if you're faithful, you're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed. Stop looking at the other guy who has a bigger sack, who's got more teeth, who's got... Stop looking at that. Stop looking at the guy who's got a nicer car. Celebrate that with them, and you take care and be faithful with that little thing that you have. And you start exercising faith and believing, God, you said to me that I'm going to have my own promised land, and it will be flowing with milk and honey. Things I've never seen before, things I've never enjoyed. You know, a small thing. This is really funny. This is really small. And this was the preparation for this message. I wish I took the picture. I was in Singapore with this pastor and said, Pastor Joe, is this your first time in Singapore? I said, actually, no. I've been here, I don't even know how many times. I said, so you know Singapore? I said, yeah, I love, every time I come here, I have a laksa. Everybody know laksa? I said, I have a laksa. I says, Pastor, he started laughing and giggling. The world's best laksa, I know where it is. And I said, there's no way. This guy's, you know, he's overstating things. He's exaggerating. So if finally I get to his meeting and he says, I get over there and he says, by the way, I promise you, he didn't forget. He said, I promised you a laksa, the world's best laksa. And out comes this plastic cup, this cheap plastic cup with this cheap plastic spoon. And I tell you, it is the universe's best laksa. You see, God knows where the milk is. It doesn't have to come in a porcelain bowl. It can actually come in a plastic bowl. And he knows where it is. And the funny part is, it's like a $5 deal. See, God knows. But we go ahead. Oh, I want that bag. I want that. There's nothing wrong with bags. I'm just saying, don't go there. He knows what's best. You be faithful. You keep believing and trusting him that he's going to have something great for you. And obey him. Because it says that his eyes are always going to be upon it. Here's what it says. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Wow. My wife and I looked at that last night and said, wow. We're going to put our faith there. You know what that means? You know why you want to be faithful to him? Because he's the only one who's faithful enough and powerful enough to be faithful enough. No one can control the weather. No one can control the circumstances. He can. When you remain faithful to him and you do what he says, I'm going to take care of that land I promised you. I'll bless you. It's going to be amazing. It doesn't have to be the one that that guy has, that guy has, that guy has. It's the one I made just for you. I've cut it up and subdivided for your tribe. And as they subdivide that tribe, take that little thing that they're giving you, because out of that, I'm going to do something great for you. Be faithful. Be faithful. Know that there's a land that's flowing. Not the land that's producing, it's flowing. You know the difference? There's different types of honey. The quality of honey you can have, the kind of honey you buy from the grocery right now, that's cheap honey. That's farmed honey. The honey they were talking about was not like that, because honey comes from the nectar of plants and flowers. And this land had all kinds of vegetation. The bees were sucking all kinds of, the taste of the honey was just so different. There's a whole slew of variety that God has for you. Don't limit him. Your idea of the best of the best of the best is not necessarily God's. When they tell you in television and advertising that this is the best thing you can ever have, maybe not. Maybe God has an option that's even better than that. When we do it God's way, that's the big deal. That's when God comes through for us and blesses us. In a sense, that's the gospel. In a very real sense, Jesus taking us out of slavery from sin, that's the start of this mindset. Stop thinking that you're bound by sin and slavery, that it's about your works, rather it's about his grace and his favor. That when we enter into that place of the gospel, we do not strive, but we thrive. because of all that Jesus has done for us. And that's the starting point. And some of you today, you're here because that's where God wants you. He wants you to start this journey into your promised land. And those of you who are believers, this is the moment to exercise faithfulness and say, God, I may be a little old nurse in this little old ward. I will be faithful. You might be saying, I'm a little old student. I don't have it. I will be faithful. Whatever it is that God's given you, your name, your reputation, your health, your time, be faithful. Because when you do, he's going to bless that, and that's your promised land. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close with a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There's some of you here, you are here, and the Lord's brought you here to set you free, to bring you to that place of Jesus, the one who broke the power of sin and death, so that you may have a mindset that's ready to accept God's promises. And if that's you this afternoon, would you just lift up one or both your hands towards heaven? Just close your eyes for a bit. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just wanting you to step out in faith today and be free. Yes. Yes, there's several of you. Father, thank you for these people. I pray, Jesus, that you would bring revelation to your word today. Bring freedom. Would you just pray this with me, Father? Just say it in your, where you're standing. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this moment that I'm standing here, realizing that you're setting me free so that I may enter my promised land. God, I thank you that today, Lord, I'm having an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus, I'm declaring. Would you just look up here for a minute? Put your hands down. This is very important. We have watered down this gospel so low. Jesus is not just your Savior. He's your Lord. He is boss. The reason why some of you missed the promised land, he's not your boss. It's the easy way out. Give me the grace thing. Give me the easy thing. Give me the thing that, let me lift my hands and pay my tithes and I'm done here. Devotion and faithfulness is saying, God, give me everything. Let me do it to the one that makes you feel good because I'm being faithful to you. And as you lift your hand today, my prayer is that you would make him Lord of your life. Not just the Savior, not just to get away from the darkness and the pain of sin, but Jesus, I want you to become my Lord. And there's some of you here, you're Christians, and you're in the middle of this promised land thing. And he's also telling you, be faithful. If that's your heart this afternoon, would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? Jesus, we're just declaring, you are Lord over our lives. Lord, we're making a decision, Father, to be faithful to you, to your statutes, your commands, your decrees, your laws. God, we want the whole truth, the only truth, all of it, God. And God, even as we do that, we trust that you're making us strong to enter into our promised land. The land that you give us. The land flowing with milk and honey. The land that you will care for. God, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the Manny Pacquiao fight.